Ephesians chapter number 5. Had a good day this morning over in the chapel, and I don't know what the attendance was, but had some guests. Had a missionary family just show up and to be with us, and that certainly was nice. They were in India, and they got kicked out of India. They were given 9 days to leave, and they've since come back. They're from North Carolina. They were in India, come back to settle in Western New York, looking for a church, but thank God they went, amen? And they didn't last long over there, but that's just the way of the world. It's becoming quite anti-Christian around the world and in our country. And missionaries are having difficult times. So I hope you're praying for our missionaries, going through that nice booklet we gave you with the missionaries. Go through that every month. Pray for them. And they're going through some difficult times. We've had some of our missionaries beat up last year. Some were arrested. And some have been kicked out of their countries. And it's just getting hard. But we should continue, amen, and not quit. Ephesians chapter number 5, I want you to notice verse 18 and verse 19. I want to speak this morning on the subject of evidences of a Spirit-filled believer. Evidences of a Spirit-filled believer. I know sometime in the past I've brought a message very similar to this, but it's something that I would like you to use maybe as an examination of your own walk with the Lord this morning, as I also will try to examine myself. There are evidences of a Spirit-filled believer. You can't fake it. And I want to give you 7 of those today from the Scriptures. And notice with me in our introductory passage, Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." 3 times in the Bible, a drunken man is compared to a Spirit-filled man. Now, a drunken man, that's a very, very bad thing. Spirit-filled man, that's a very, very good thing. But the correlation is this, is that when somebody becomes drunk, a power that is greater than them takes them over, and they begin to do things they would never think of doing before in their life. Some little puny guy like this gets drunk, and he wants to find the biggest guy in the room and pick a fight with him. If he was sober, he would never think of doing that. But when he comes under the influence of alcohol, he attempts things, dumb things, but he attempts things he would never, ever think about doing otherwise in his life. Now, in a good sense, when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit becomes an overpowering influence in him or her, so that he or she will begin to attempt things they would never otherwise think of attempting in their life. Such as witnessing and maybe preaching or serving or getting involved in ministries or something like that. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit will take somebody and will lead them to do things they never thought they were qualified to do or capable of doing. And they do them, and they do them well. And so that's what the correlation is there. We need to become filled with the Holy Spirit so that He will be the greatest power in our life and take over. And I don't know, I know I grew up very, very introverted and kind of shy and so on and so forth. And I would, you know, if you'd have told me at a certain age that I was going to be a preacher or a pastor one day, I would have bet you everything I owned, and I'm not a betting man, but I would have bet you everything I owned that you're wrong. And now I love preaching. I love teaching. I love standing before people, trying to instruct them, educate them, and so on and so forth. And God has helped me, and God can help you, and He can give you His power and His filling. Now, as you know, there's one indwelling, and that happens when we're saved. When we're saved, when you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Ghost comes and indwells you. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, and you are not your own? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit which are God's." The Holy Ghost is in you. Many other verses say that. We're indwelled with the Spirit at the moment of salvation, but that doesn't mean that we are filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit and The indwelling of the Spirit are two different things. In verse 18, it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I just want to suggest to all of you as believers in verse 18, let's just be abstainers. Amen? Just forget about the alcohol. We don't need it. But we need to be filled with the Spirit. And this is in the tense of be ye constantly being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now that happens when you and I deny self, and when we get sin out of our lives, we can then be filled with the Spirit. We're either filled with sin, self, or the Spirit. But it's not all of them. And the more sin we can get out of our lives, and the more of self we can get out of our lives, and as Jesus said, deny self, crucify self, or as Paul said, die daily. And as we die to self and die to sin, we can then be filled with the Holy Spirit. Kind of like your gas tank on your car. You got to fill that thing constantly if you want to keep moving, if you want to keep functioning. And so I want to encourage you today, before I get into these evidences, to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity. Let him have complete control of you. Let him have access to every single room in your heart, in your mind. Do not forbid him access to any room. Let him in every area of your life and say, Holy Spirit, get into that area of my life and take control and fill that area and control me and change me. And pray. Pray to be filled with the Spirit. I believe this is what Jesus was saying to us in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13 when he said, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? And it's something you need to ask. And if that's not on your prayer list, I want to encourage you to write it down on your prayer list at home near the top, that God would fill you with his Holy Spirit. Pray for his power. Pray for his filling constantly. Even if you don't understand it, just ask for it. Amen? I mean, I didn't quite understand completely what I was asking for when I asked the Lord to save me, but he knew. We don't necessarily have to understand everything to experience it. We live by faith. And if you don't know what it means to be filled with the Spirit, then pray and say, oh God, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your power. And as you do that, and as you move farther and farther away from sin and constantly deny self, and you ask to be filled with your Spirit, then certain things are going to begin to happen in and through you that are what I call evidences of a Spirit-filled believer. And I want to give you seven of them, and one of them is in our next verse. It says in verse 19, speaking to yourself, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's basically three ways to praise the Lord in the Bible. You'll take the word praise, take your Strong's Concordance, study them all out. There's about three ways to praise the Lord in the Bible. One is by musical instruments, as we just saw. Another is by singing, as you see here in verse number 19, rather. And one is by giving thanks, as you see in verse number 20. Giving thanks is a way that we praise the Lord. In Hebrews 13 and verse number 15, the Bible says this, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. Praise is giving thanks to the Lord, the fruit of our lips. So you can do it with musical instruments, singing, or the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. But I want you to write down number one is praise. When a person is filled with the Spirit, a believer, man or woman, boy or girl, they will praise God. They will praise God. You know, I don't think there's much real praise of God going on in these days and age. You know why? I think we're so filled with ourselves. And it's not right. It's an evidence that we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I noticed so much these days that people just love to talk about themselves. Just love it. They love to take over every conversation and turn it around to themselves, as I've explained before and recently, and I won't take time to do it. That's not a good sign. We need to praise the Lord. When a person is filled with the Spirit, their life becomes about God, not about themselves. In fact, the more they're filled with the Spirit, the more they can't stand themselves, let alone talk about themselves all the time. When you're filled with the Spirit, you can't stand yourself. You just want self to be put down and crucified. And you just want to exalt the Lord and praise the Lord. And the Spirit of God leads a man or a woman to put their whole focus on God and on the things of God. And that person begins to sing, and the music of that person's soul comes from the heart, in their hearts making melody to the Lord. It doesn't come from outside fabricated sources like the radio and CDs and stuff, and some of that's okay. I guess for background noise, I'm not against that. They had that in the temple, and they had the singers that were continually employed to sing while they were doing the temple ministry. I understand that. And it's nice to hear music and singing and choirs and so on, and I believe in that. But the best music is the music that originates in your heart to the Lord. That is a good sign when you're the one singing. It doesn't matter, you don't even have to sing well. You make a joyful noise to the Lord. But brethren, when a person is filled with the Spirit, they don't talk about themselves. They become like John the Baptist, a man who is filled with the Spirit, who said, "He must increase and I must decrease." That's the evidence of a Spirit-filled man or woman. They just want God to increase. They want to magnify the Lord and not themselves. Examine yourselves. I want you to notice the first evidence that a person is filled with the Spirit. They just want to praise God. They just want to praise God. Number two is prayer. Turn to the next chapter, Ephesians chapter 6, and I'd like you to write down number two, prayer. A second evidence that a person is a Spirit-filled believer is that they pray. In Ephesians 6 and verse number 18, it says this, "Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." About what? "Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." I want you to notice prayer, but I especially mean prayer for others. Prayer for others. Sometimes a person's prayer list, and like the men sang or tried to sing earlier, you know, the first verse of our lives is kind of "none of self and all of me." And sometimes God puts up with that. God puts up with that. He's good. And we can go sometimes with a grocery list and tell him how much money we need and my health and this, that, and other and all the things. It's all about us. But listen, the Bible says when a person begins to pray in the Spirit, verse 18, "watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints," that person's focus, when it says watching, the focus of a Spirit-filled prayer is others. They pray for the saints, verse 18. They pray for the missionaries, verse number 19. They pray for the gospel to have success, verse number 19. That's what happens when a person is filled with the Spirit. God gets in there and takes over their prayer list and their prayer life and says, "Okay, we're going to change this around. When we're all done, then you can ask me what you want from me. But until then, let's first start by praying for others." Praying for others. Just praying, period. Listen, when you're filled with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost prompts you into a prayer time where you spend time in closet prayer, maybe your bedroom or something. You shut the door and you kneel down next to the bed and you pray to God in secret, and the Lord who seeth in secret rewardeth thee openly. Amen? It's a rewarding thing to pray. But then when you get out of your prayer closet and you got to go to work or got to wash dishes or take care of the babies or whatever you do, you continue a prayer life. where you don't leave God back in the closet and say, see you tomorrow morning. You say, God, now let me walk with you, and all day long while I'm driving the car, while I'm at work, Holy Spirit, I want you to have the liberty to prompt me, to lay on my heart people to pray for. And people who are sick, people who are in the hospital, people on the mission field, and maybe little babes in Christ that are growing in the Lord, maybe struggling with some things, but the Holy Ghost will keep you praying all the time. And I've said this before, a little illustration, but there's been many times where I've gotten in my car to go home, and I'll flip on the radio to see what's going on in the news or sports, and the Holy Spirit will say, shut that off. I want to talk to you for a while. Or we got some things to pray about that are really important. And you are led to block out all the noise, and I should say all the empty noise of the world, and speak to God, and God speaks to quiet people in quiet places. And we are to study to be quiet. And we are to study to commune with God. Even on our beds, David said, commune with God. He wakes you up at 2 in the morning, and that happens to you, and that happens to me, and just bang, you're just wide awake 2 in the morning. That's time to commune with God in the morning till he lets you fall asleep again. The Holy Spirit leads us to a life of praying for others. Praying for others, praying for missionaries. Yes, and you pray for yourself too, but praying for others. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, I want you to notice the third thing. If you want to turn back there, I'll read it for you. Acts 4 verse 31 says this. I want you to notice another evidence. When people are filled with the Spirit, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now that's our subject today. And what happens? And they spake the word of God with boldness. I want you to write down preaching, number 3. Preaching, and when I use that word preaching, I am not talking about pulpit preaching in the church, although a person should be filled with the Spirit, I think, to teach or preach in the pulpit or in your Sunday school class or whatever, that's important. But it says, when they spake the word of God with boldness, the word of God began to prevail in that area, and many, many souls were saved. Now, who does the Spirit of God want to fill and enable to speak forth the word of God? This is especially speaking about forthtelling the word of God or forthtelling the gospel. We'll turn back to Acts chapter 1. And let's notice what happened here on Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, rather. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. And it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And so there's no confusion. He defines it, colon. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Notice verse 17. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Verse 18. In the days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Notice a third evidence that somebody is filled with the Spirit is they prophesy. And that doesn't mean they predict future events and so on. That means they foretell the Word of God. We have the completed Word of God in our hands, the Bible. And we don't need any more revelations. We don't need any more dreams or visions or angels appearing to people or signs or miracles or wonders. We have a completed revelation. And God said that when he completes his revelation, those other things will be done away, those things which he had used in part. And now we have a more sure word of prophecy, the Bible. This is the most accurate communication God ever gave us. He wrote it down, the Holy Bible. And we need men and women and boys and girls who will forth tell the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit is not just given for pastors or evangelists or missionaries or elders. The Holy Spirit is given here in verses 17 and 18 to fill boys, to fill girls with the Spirit so they'll prophesy, young men, old men, handmaidens, servants. It's for everybody. And I think one of the faults of the church is we're constantly praying, God, fill Pastor Cole with your Spirit. God, fill Pastor Cole with your Spirit, when we should be praying for yourself. God, fill me with the Spirit. And it says when that happens, they spake the word of God with boldness. Remember the drunk guy? Remember how when alcohol engulfed him, he did things he would never have thought about doing when he came under the power of those spirits? That's what they used to call liquor, by the way, is spirits. Well, it's the same thing, only good. When a man or a woman is filled with the Holy Spirit, eventually they can't keep it in anymore. They got to say something to somebody. They got to tell somebody else what Jesus did for them. They got to go out witnessing, or they got to tell their sons or daughters, their family, their loved ones, or whatever. I don't think there's enough witnessing going on today because there's not enough being filled with the Spirit. Not enough people being filled with the Spirit. Boy, that sin and self will just quench the fire of God in your heart. You won't want to tell anybody anything. We've got to watch out for that stuff. I'm talking to myself here too. I know how that is. You just get filled with self and filled with sin. You don't even think about somebody's poor lost soul. But when you get filled with the Spirit, you can't stand it. And you got to go out and try and tell somebody. Got to tell somebody. Got to give somebody a gospel tract or something. Tell them they need to be saved. God helps us when we do that. Ladies, Philippians 4:3 says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. And Clement also. And with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." I don't know who these ladies were. Jesus had some that were always following him around. Paul had some too that labored with him in the gospel. In the gospel. You know, in many cases, not always, but in many cases, I think ladies can be better soul winners than men. It just seems like us men struggle more with pride and with ego and with our insecurities and how we want to be accepted by everybody and blah, blah, blah. And ladies just, I don't know, in my opinion, just in general, seem to be more of a humble spirit than men do. And they can make such good soul winners. And boy, I've seen that over the years, how many ladies just can just learn how to share the gospel and win people to Christ. And God needs them, like that woman at the well, man. She went down into Samaria. She started telling everybody about Jesus. And it says a whole bunch of people, all of the Samaritans, many of them believed on Christ for the saying of the woman who said, "He told me all things that ever I did." God used her. God used her in a great way. And those that she didn't lead to Christ, she brought to Christ, and then they heard him, and then they trusted in the Lord because of Christ's words. And she was one mess. She was one wreck of a human being, wasn't she? Man, she'd been married 5 times and was living with a guy. Just think of that. And I know that happens to some people, but God can use people like that. We disqualify them, you know, in our judgments. But God can use them. Amen. And God can use you. It doesn't matter what kind of a mess you were or I was. God can use you and I to be witnesses. But we got to be filled with the Spirit. A lot of times we're not being filled with the Spirit and controlled by the Holy Ghost and telling, you know what, I love going out. I go out every week, soul winning yesterday. We had some wonderful times, soul winning yesterday and talking to people. I'm amazed, and I know Pastor Seth, he tells me the same thing, and any of you that ever go out, I'm amazed how when you get starting to talk to somebody, the Holy Ghost just starts bringing scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture in your mind to answer their questions that you haven't even thought about in years. The Bible says the Holy Ghost will teach you what to say. And it's just fascinating to see God the Holy Ghost. I go out sometimes all excited because I just say, what's God going to do today? This is neat. What's he going to do through me today? And sometimes you come back and it doesn't appear like anything happens. Other times, I think 16 times this year on Saturdays, we've led people to Christ. I wish it was more than that. But man, they just bow their heads, their hearts before God, prayed with us, asked Jesus to save us. I thought about that. If I hadn't gone out, what about those 16? You know, I keep records of them and I try to stay in touch with them. What about that? What if I just stayed home? But man, you go out and others didn't get saved, but you got to share the gospel with them. Others, you got to answer their questions about life and the Holy Ghost. It's just amazing how the Holy Ghost brings stuff you've studied from the past and you go back home rejoicing, laughing almost. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. And the Holy Ghost just helps you. You don't have to be afraid. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Give you boldness. That word boldness just simply means confidence. Doesn't mean arrogance. Amen? Doesn't mean you go out and beat someone over the head with the Bible. But you go out with confidence that God's going to use you by faith. Number four is power. This is very similar to number three, but in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses." Again, 3 and 4 are very similar here. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he gives you power. Those of you that have tried witnessing or preaching or whatever, you know what it's like to be able to speak and to see the power of God affect somebody and change somebody's life. Listen, God hath chosen in due times to manifest his word through preaching. Titus 1 and verse 3. That's the tool he uses. Back, you know, in the old days he used angels and dreams and visions. Today he uses preaching. He uses when women preach. Not pulpit preaching, but they're out there talking to people. The power of God gets into that. The power of God gets into boys, and we've had a few teens lately lead their friends to the Lord at school and witness to them. Boy, I love hearing that stuff. Amen. Praise God. And God can use you, no matter how old you are, young you are. The power of God. But listen, when I say power, number four, I also want to talk about internal power just for a second. God helps us on the outside when we witness. And he speaks to the inside of the person we're witnessing to. And it's not you or I that convert the person. It's God. Amen? But God's power from the Holy Ghost also can work on the inside. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." So when you got saved, God began to do a good work in you, and he's going to perform it. In other words, God is never going to quit working on you or me until the day of Jesus Christ. It is God that worketh in us. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." God wants to be working through us on the outside, but he also wants to be working in us, always changing us. There is no such thing as arriving. Nobody can say, "I've arrived. God doesn't have to do any more in me." No, God has a long way to go in me and in you. He is going to work on us until Jesus Christ. We should always be changing on the inside for the good. And there ought to come to a time where there's so much power inside of us by the Holy Ghost that we're no longer defeated all the time, but we're victorious, we're delivered. He sets us free from vices and habits and addictions and sins which doth so easily beset us. How? By the power of God. That leads me to number five, purifying. In Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter number 5, we see the Holy Ghost filling also works to the purifying of the believer in Jesus Christ. Verse 16 says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit. That means keep in step with the Holy Ghost. Don't be walking in that direction when he wants to walk in life this direction. Keep in step. Have a spiritual walk. Walk in the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. And it says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, every one of us in this room without exception, if you have blood, red blood, going through your veins, you are having problems with the lust of the flesh. Let's not kid each other. Let's be humble this morning. Let's be honest. All right? We're not all as we appear in church every week. My flesh just keeps getting up every morning and bothering me. And I got to keep trying to put it down. Self dies screaming, folks. Dies screaming. That old flesh is going to trouble you till you take your last breath. I've interviewed men in their 80s and 90s, and I've said to them, does it ever get any better? And they said, no. Still troubles you. Still troubles you. But praise God, there's victory through the Holy Ghost. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And He does a purifying work in us. A purifying. If you're struggling with your flesh, and some are to some extent more than others. Some are full-blown addicts and got problems with certain vices, and others are just experts at hiding it. Or maybe you grew up with a lot of character and a lot of discipline, and character and discipline can only take you so far in overcoming. But then you're going to need the help of the Holy Ghost. With His old flesh. Jesus always spoke the truth. And He said, the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. The flesh is weak. In Romans 8, the Apostle Paul picked up on this. In verse 4, he said that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death. I mean, just your thought life. You don't even have to be doing fleshly things. Just thinking fleshly things is going to kill you spiritually. Not going to kill you physically, but the spiritual, vibrant life of Christ that He wants us to have, that abundant life, is going to die. We're going to quench the Spirit. We're going to grieve the Spirit of God, and pretty soon we're going to almost be like we're lost people again. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Man, the battle's for the mind. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now why were we made? Revelation 4:11 says, for the pleasure of God. We're made to please God, but our flesh, no. We can't please God in the flesh. And that, again, that's talking about just being fleshly minded, not even doing stuff, but just thinking it. And I know I'm talking to this congregation, and I'm talking to myself right now. We've got to ask the Holy Spirit of God to help us. Right up there. That's where the battle is, right there in your mind, that little 4.5-pound muscle of gray matter. That's where the battle's fought and lost or won. But we have a helper. And we got to call upon Him. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. God, the Holy Spirit, help me. Purify, and He purifies us. The Holy Spirit always leads us to the spiritual, not to the carnal. To be heavenly minded, not to be worldly. To be separated unto the Lord and away from sin. Let me give these the last two quickly. This one I think leads, number 5 leads into number 6 is peace. Another evidence of a spirit-filled man or woman is peace. Oh, it's so sad when you see somebody that can't live with themselves. Peace is the absence of war. That's what peace is. It's the absence of war. And we're not just talking about the external conflicts, World War II. By the way, Pearl Harbor, 70 years this Wednesday. We're going to have a little special thing Wednesday night. in remembrance of Pearl Harbor. What a day, a day that will go down in infamy. But peace is the absence of war on the inside. Some of you can't even live with yourself. I see you're up and you're down and you're up and you're down and you're hot and you're cold and you're hot and you're cold and you're in and you're out and you're in and you're out and you're moody and it affects everybody around you and then you're under control and it's just so destructive to see the way you're living and it doesn't have to be that way. I've watched some of you for decades just war with yourself. And man, if you can't learn how to live with yourself, how in the world are you going to live with someone else? How are you going to function in the body of Christ to your fullest capacity? Romans 14, 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Peace. The absence of war. Calmness of your soul. Quietness in your spirit. The Holy Ghost can bring you that. This world can't. God, the Holy Ghost can. And those of you that can't live with yourself, why don't you just admit it? And come to God for help. Say, God, help me. God, help me. Oh, the people today that are so full of insecurities and they're turning to things, even quietly and secretly, alcohol and drugs and so on. Man, I knew one man had to smoke pot every day just to exist. Just to exist with himself. He had to smoke pot. Holy Ghost is God Almighty. And He lives inside of you. And He didn't come to live inside of you because He didn't have anywhere else to go. The filthiest place on this earth is inside of a human being. The last place the Holy Ghost would want to live is inside of a human being. I've said this before, it'd be better for Him to live inside of a dog or a cow. Because at least all they're doing, what they're doing is by instinct. But we're living in sin on purpose, by choice. We're filthy. And God, the blessed Holy Spirit, whose first name is Holy, came to live inside of us, not because He's looking for some place to live, but because He wants to help us. He wants to help us. And I submit to you this morning, He can help you overcome anything from your past. He can bring healing. He can bring peace. And you can live with yourself. You can enjoy this trip to heaven if you'll let the Holy Ghost fill you. If you'll deny self and deny sin, He can help you. The last point I'm not going to preach is produce. I just borrowed this from the farm. Most of you know as a farmer. Just for the sake of alliteration, all starting with the letter P, produce, but put in parentheses after that fruit. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." Love, joy, peace helps us in our relationship with God. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness helps us in our relationship with man. Faith, meekness, temperance helps us in our relationship with ourselves. Temperance, self-control. What a God. He's got it all covered. He's got it all covered. And the person of the Holy Ghost. Do you know the Holy Ghost? Brother, find a song on the Holy Ghost there. Justin, we'll sing that for the closing. Let's pray.